My name is Damon Thomas, and I'd like to welcome you to There Is a Life After Life. Poetry and prose on the radio. Good words to start the week. Let's get things started with Laura Hoffman Kelly, Southern Fried Sacraments, Rashad Hawkins, What I'm After, and Jessica Temple, Cobbler.
Southern Fried Sacraments. We grew up filthy things in paint-by-number pastoral scenes, swatting flies with the fervor of little televangelists. Mama spoke in tongues with analog angels whose homogeneous grace spread like country crock on white wonderbread Jesus. Daddy left us behind with the frying hiss of bologna, the kitchen flies flew up from hell to tickle him crazy. Mama died later at a table waiting for the laparoscopic band of the Lord to be her savior.
The title of this one's called What I'm After.
No.
I want to wake up one day and not be working for the white man. I want to look in the mirror and see tattoos covering up my body. I take out my piercings to brush my teeth. But most importantly, I want to look inside my soul and see that it's still there. I want my devils to be nervous around me since I stopped chasing them away. I want my angels to keep close to me, but talk to me again like how they used to. I want new sneakers. I want my brothers to stay my brothers and not my strangers. I want to forgive myself of my sins, and I want to eat the ones that I can. I want to sleep for a week. I want to look at the rain. I want to get lost in the sounds of a concert. I want to be crossfaded in another town causing mayhem from the PMs to the AMs. I want God to look at you and smile. I want you to talk to me when you got liquor in you. I want to be zooted at brunch with you. I want you to find the peace that you're looking for. I want you to be happy even if I'm not in your life anymore. I want you to see the light in you.
Cobbler. All we know for sure is that he was a shoemaker. He either died in battle in World War I or was run over in the streets of Baltimore. Stitching soles to welts, vamps to toe caps, shaping the shank just right before pressing in the name. He made fettuccine, enjoyed it with his favorite orvrito, or drank Barolo with ossobuco and roasted potatoes. Attaching cuff, counter, quarter, firming up the backstay, perforating the leather in patterns of dips and crests. He loved Charlie Chaplin, the floorwalker was his favorite, or he didn't care too much for movies, preferring to practice the violin. Punching out eyelets for later lace, delicately hand-capped with metal aglets. He either came for the promise of lower rent and softer leather, or because back home was an accidental pregnancy and angry father, always moving seamlessly from tongue to throat.
A Trip to the Springs with Ringworm and Regret. In 2008, a Chiefland Citizen headline announced the end of an era. Red Billy Day dies quietly. For 12 years, this Memorial Day festival had attempted to inject some folksy charm into an impoverished Tri-County area of Northeast Florida. The Fanning Springs Belly Flop contest was especially popular. In one case, a man violated his house arrest to claim the Red Billy Day Belly Flop large weight title. This dedication earned him a trophy, a $100 savings bond, and a 3-year prison term. Subsequent prison furlough requests to defend his title were denied. While belly flops give a certain literalness to Red Billy Day, the festival was named for a small fish abundant in the Suwannee River. Small towns often seem to have something of an identity crisis, and the proposed solution is usually a festival. These festivals let an area select how they wish to be seen, and ideally bring in some money as well. Celebrations of the possum, the cooter, and small town living in general occur across Florida. Dixie County wanted to recognize spring with an event that evoked a natural old Florida. Sitting upon a quiet sandy bank of the Suwannee River, cane pole in hand, the dark brown water teeming with small, colorful fish. a passive, meditative activity that involves actively seeking out solitude. A relaxing day, ending with a string of red bellies to fry for dinner. This idyllic scene was represented at Red Belly Day by the Babe Booth. Guess the weight of the baby pig? 50 cents per guess. The prize is the pig. The legend and lore that was Red Belly Day collapsed under the weight of petty regional rivalries. At the final event, only children from Dixie County, attending an event in Gilchrist County, could enter a coloring contest to win vouchers for a personal pan pizza that was only honored in Levy County. In the end, there wasn't enough cash being made to justify attempts at appearing quaint and folksy. In the sparsely populated northern area of Dixie County, known as the 1st District, County Road 353 crosses State Road 349 as it heads towards Rock Sink Baptist Church. This straight stretch of paved road, seemingly ending in a picturesque rural church, could be seen as the ideal depiction of the primacy of faith and family in this part of Florida. At 17, I was once asked to deliver the Sunday sermon at this church. It went about as well as could be expected, but they never asked me to preach again. As you near the church parking lot, the road takes a right and continues toward an unpaved lime rock road that leads to Garntoe Springs. Clouds of white dust follow vehicles slowly making their way down this bumpy road on warm summer days. Garntoe is a small pool of water that empties through a bar-covered culvert directly into the Suwannee River. This area has served as a gathering place for generations. Both birthdays and deaths are recognized with cake under the shady trees. As school is out, dozens of children and teens practically live by the spring. This rustic freedom is the backdrop for a large number of youthful indiscretions. Summers of ringworm and regret. Garntoe Springs is also home for some. Large families living in their cars beside the bank of the river. Harsh social realities exist beside simple pleasures, as watermelons stolen from nearby fields are left to cool in the shallows of the 72-degree water. Generations have gathered here to make the best of both limited means and local opportunities. In The Decay of Lying, Oscar Wilde suggested that lying, the telling of beautiful, untrue things, is the proper aim of art. The same could be said about small-town festivals. Local civic leaders seek to create a unique identity for their town, and residents get an afternoon of escapism centered around a local crop or animal. Red Belly Day was popular with locals, but didn't provide the material benefit the organizers were seeking. The belly flop contest crowds at Fanning Springs faded away, but 20 miles up the Suwannee River, a different sort of celebration continues at Garntoe Springs. A celebration of shared experience in a secluded area that is not concerned with the financial benefits gained by the local Chamber of Commerce. Up next, Sounds and Words, Capithia, Brood in Raptures, here on There Is a Life After Life.
Brood in raptures. Something is there, shaped into a feeling, dancing into a wall, from frozen particulates of tincture, listening to twilight, having someone there, holding a whisper close to hardened, highlighted window panes from elsewhere on the plane of existent, seen and noticed, but for a wrinkle of nightlights. An intricate timeline of winters, meant to be heard in the dark of prosaic, lightened sand of cranberry. Nearsightedness, brokenly forward and meaning laced, filmed on a nearby glance of needles. For extra antlers and candlelit brood and raptures, I feel a timeline within of lanterns. I feel a moment of sinking totality. I feel his hand entering an icy entanglement. I feel the center of starting and sparks. I feel creases on pencils and shoelaces. I feel sipping in a field turning green with horses and flipping over into tunnels, going backwards around boxes of aprons for my grandmother. A necessity is moving into me. fighting out of cannons. A torrent of ticking is part of it all. It can't be what it is. It cannot. It has to find freezing what was there. It had to will, needing penmanship. Fortunes resting underneath quiet parlances. I went in there with splitting awarenesses. Looking out frosted windows and sirens. Throwing a phone through a phone. The person reminded me of was. We played a game. We tried to watch a racer head. She brought me homemade curry. We sat, elusively trying to find me. I went in there with ideas. I went out without. I went to find an answer to a spinning cauldron. On fire from feeding it too much. On fire from exploring an unknown Buddha with medicine in his hand. On fire from feeling a thousand ancestors rushing into a bottle and smoke.
And now, more poetry. Dick Duncanstein, Mistakes. Jessica Q. Stark, Against Knowing, for What's His Name. And Tyler Gillespie, A 4-Minute Poem.
This one's called Mistakes. Words smudged in print on a pamphlet, feeling like a used cloth pondering daunting tasks, and yet around me grew periwinkle flowers, unfolding bleached chairs while soft drapes sprung above, spreading through the field of pastel, and white flakes falling from the sky. There I would sit in front of a virgin casket of a girl I knew in waking, and who, right beside me, lifted the hair from my ears to speak. She in white, strung together with purple ribbons, parted her lips, glossed in regret. How she got here and how little it was worth. Above our heads, the heavens hearing her sorrow rebuilt. Bricks emerged in rows into inorganic dust, the sun barely illuminated, her lace-covered hand on my shoulder to confess the consequences. Not a blink, her marriage to death making her bold, lying in front of us, her ghost beside me. I sit stuck in one spot with words held by hooks. She only needs to tell me once the mistakes, because she misses life, she misses breath, and she hasn't been home in years.
Against Knowing, for What's His Name? Against knowing, against naming, too. Against notion, ruling, circumstantial love. Against symmetry, its little string leading back to the house. Against California's exclusion of diacritics. Against emptying nuance into mess. Coup, root, penis, old, tau, 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 apple, nonsense, create. Against creation of an untrue gullet. Against truth and reason's steady ruse. What brought you here? Who did you want? What moves you? Against nonsense as the stony lake. Against useful bodies. Against tonguing the wound. Against knowing what keeps you still some nights, what still keeps you up on others.
A 4-Minute Poem, or poem written as John Zorn and his jazz band improvised a song to celebrate Hermetic Cartography Show at the Drawing Center 2025. A saxophone in his hand, bird trills. There's something about music that makes me want to drum kick, shoulder shimmy, head bob. My God, I fell in love with the musician again. The way he blows that sax, how could I not think of sex? It's only one letter off, torn page. Don't let me lie to you. My body is the bass with his fingers. The snare kicks up. I'm the snare. I don't care. Faster now, fast, fast. I'm sweating. I got lost in the music. Now I'm back. Take a seat and tell me your deepest fear. No, please do not do that. Just kidding. Stand and watch the man as he plays. Okay, thank you.
We'll close out this show with Barbara Colicchiello reading My Beautiful Ideal by Emma Goldman, Tom Miller, The Magic Trick, and Carmen Calatayud, An Offering of Strength.
At the dances, I was one of the most untiring and gayest. One evening, a cousin of Sasha, a young boy, took me aside. With a grave face, as if he were about to announce the death of a dear comrade, he whispered to me that it did not behoove an agitator to dance, certainly not with such reckless abandon. It was undignified for one who was on the way to become a force in the anarchist movement. My frivolity would only hurt the cause. I grew furious at the impudent interference of the boy. I told him to mind his own business. I was tired of having the cause constantly thrown into my face. I did not believe that a cause which stood for a beautiful ideal, for anarchism, for release, and freedom from convention and prejudice, should demand the denial of life and joy. I insisted that our cause could not expect me to become a nun, and that the movement would not be turned into a cloister. If it meant that, I did not want it. I want freedom, the right to self-expression, everybody's right to beautiful, radiant things. Anarchism meant that to me, and I would live it in spite of the whole world. Prisons, persecution, everything. Yes, yes, even in spite of the condemnation of my own closest comrades, I would live my beautiful ideal.
I can't win you back with words, if I even was yours, and I know I can't. No matter how many poems, how hard I try, what words I use, or combinations I find, I've lost. I'm cut off, cut away, cut in half. I've always wanted to write the one that would save the world. Words that would move people. Words that could fight and die for love. But here, in this bar, I see couples kiss, and I know they'll all think the same as me in the end. Sadness fills my body. It's a lie. It will always be a lie. They look exactly like me before you disappeared. You're a rabbit, is what you are. A rabbit, water in a glass, a flower, and a bird. A cane, and a wand, and a candle. Everything that disappears. And I can't write you back. Not even the greatest poem in the world could do it. I'm overhearing a conversation a college graduate is bragging about how he cheated on his exams. He's so proudly saying it. He's giving advice. And his diploma hangs on a wall. People will believe what it says. He'll reap rewards and sow seeds. It will be something like love, and also something like never being able to write a poem good enough. Good enough. And he will vanish too, in the ultimate magic trick, the one that has us all fooled, the one we can't ever kiss, the magic trick whose secret is so easy to find on the internet, in a book, a bathhouse, a bar, a soup recipe, TV. I'm so totally drunk. What difference does it make? It was fake. It was always fake. A lady sawed in half. There was plenty of faux blood, and a good time was had by all. But it wasn't a good enough poem. The lights came up, and you were gone.
An offering of strength for those who cross the border to survive. The marrow I suck spills out of my mouth and into a dark room where the floor is covered with black grass and dying trees that have a story to tell. This is the sorrow I couldn't share before. The wounds of this world slip inside of me, and I am just a vehicle for the United States of pain. But please, don't be afraid, Nogales. Dear Phoenix, I catch your tears. Ciudad Juarez, cup your hands. I am with you 24/7. My heart is the news cycle that never sleeps. My palms beat the drums that support your bones. My throat sings the chants that blaze your prayers. Mariposas raise the roofs of the suffering ones who long for safe passage. The transformation tastes like ether, but the anesthesia fades, and the hour of breaking open appears as clearly as a milky moon on an early November night. The ancestors have arrived and they say, drink to the soul in the sky. Your time is now, your rights asserted. Your voice is pure and deserving. You are one in a long line of spirits with blood that blesses us all.
My great-grandmother died almost 20 years before I was born, hit by a train near Branford, Florida. A very Southern Gothic way to go. I grew up with her stories. Pinches of snuff filled her mouth. Pinches left bruises on your arm. She was a witch. The black snakes crawled as she whistled. There were nail-covered photos on the side of her barn. Songs to the cypress trees. Her daughter shared these things, all told with affection, enthusiasm, awe. There is a life after life for those who are a good story. I'd like to thank you all for joining me here today with good words to start the week. If you'd like to hear your own poetry, prose, spoken word here, get in touch at ruralgloom.com. That's ruralgloom.com. If you'd like to support poetry, spoken word, story here on WGOT, just head to WGOT.org and donate. Thank you.